And we welcome our movie critic, film critic, Richard Fitzwilliams. Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
Very well indeed.
Lovely to have you. I was talking to you, Richard, off air about Almeria, where they filmed The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, A Few Dollars More, and went into the museum there and saw the old cameras they used in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And if you remember seeing like the behind the scenes of Spartacus, the size of the cameras with the movie reels on them, they're works of art. They really are works of art. It's a fascinating museum to see.
Going to tie in very, very nicely with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which we'll be discussing next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to that. But if you ever go to Almeria, Richard, go and see the mini Hollywood. It is a theme park, but they reenact the westerns there, and they got the old, I think Doctor Who was filmed there maybe 3 or 4 years ago as well for a western episode. Today, Richard, we're going to be starting off with a great film, Apocalypse Now, The Final Cut.
Oh, this is extraordinary. It's 40 years since Francis Ford Coppola made Apocalypse Now. And I mean, it's a masterpiece. And I saw it on IMAX. I mean, this, you could say, was a hallucinatory experience. I mean, depicting the insanity of fighting an unjust war with a panache that is, I think, unrivaled. It's based on Joseph Conrad's novella Heart of Darkness, and as most listeners will know, and if you don't, please see it if you have the chance. It portrays some of the crazed lunacy of the Vietnam War. It really has. This has entered cinema legend, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was just so well directed as well, wasn't it? But also the visuals. I mean, you look at films today, and there's a lot of CGI in there. There's a lot of things added on, and it's great, and there's nothing wrong with it. But in those days, it wasn't there, and yet the cinematography was, I thought, very good.
Oh, this was Vittorio Storaro, and was responsible. And I mean, it's just extraordinary. Helicopters becoming synonymous with the war, dropping napalm in the opening sequence, and then to the music of the Doors, their blades blend into those of the fan in the hotel room of Captain Benjamin Willard, played by Martin Sheen, waiting to be sent on a mission. And my goodness, what a mission he is sent on. He goes upriver and he's told to, quote, terminate with extreme prejudice a once brilliant officer, Colonel Walter Kurtz, played by Marlon Brando, who's gone rogue and has an army of bandits in Cambodia and who've become a sort of a form of terrorists. And I mean, some of these scenes, the attack, for example, to the ride of the Valkyries on Wagner's music on that Viet Cong village. Extraordinary, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, I was listening to the director speaking about this and saying that this is actually longer than the original movie, but not as long as the other version that came out. And he says, in his mind, and who are we to argue with him, that this is the best version of the cut. It's the best length and so on, and in his view, the best film.
Yes, and he's added a couple of scenes, for example. They were both in Redux, but not in the original, where when they go upriver in the patrol boat to find Kurtz, there's a scene where they meet a French plantation owner and a small army that he has. He's a diehard hanging on, and that too included. That's very good. And then there's a surreal one where the bunny girls are flown in to entertain the troops in the middle of the jungle. I mean, that, you couldn't make that up.
Yeah.
And quite extraordinary. Also, the fireworks around the Lo Lung Bridge, the last American outpost on the border with Cambodia, and a shocking massacre in the sampan, which happens to pass the patrol boat. It just shows the instability, the grotesque madness, the disturbing aspects of the human psyche this brings out.
Many stories. Francis Ford Coppola, trying to remember his name, and his daughter became a director as well. I think she's directing, isn't she?
Sophia Coppola, yes. And one of the best-known women directors, yes, and the tough, she was directing at a time when there really were very, very few. There are more now, of course, because there's a battle over this, as you know. And, I mean, to see Martin Sheen as Willard, Dennis Hopper as a photographer who worships Colonel Kurtz, and Robert Duvall as Kilgore, who leads his cavalry in the air in the attack I mentioned on the village. I mean, amazing performances, and really visually just phenomenal. Yeah. Marlon Brando, extraordinary, I think you could say. I do have trouble with the last part of the film, but nonetheless, it's all part of an amazing vision.
What a cast. I mean, what a cast. So that, there we are. I don't know. We don't really want to rate it, do we? Because it's just one of those. unless you do want to rate
classic.
It.
It's a classic. I mean, if I had to rate it, I would go to 4.5 yeah. because, as I mentioned, I do have some difficulty with the latter part of Coppola's vision. But the whole point is that anyone listening, if you see it or have a chance of seeing it, especially on a large screen, please take it over almost anything else.
Yes. And is coming out in cinema? Is that right?
Oh, yes, it is indeed here. I mean, it was in a Soho cinema a couple of days ago. I saw a preview in IMAX, and I mean, that was just amazing.
Okay, we move on to Blinded by the Light. Got a bit of a Bruce Springsteen effect on this film. What's it all about?
Well, I have to say, I mean, it's part of a series of films which are dealing with music and well-known musicians at the moment. There have been quite a few, and obviously we had Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man, and then we had Yesterday, and now we've got a movie about Vivek Khaira. He's actually an extremely good and sensitive actor. He plays a British teen of Pakistani descent who has the misfortune to grow up in the town of Luton in 1987. I've never been to Luton, but I mean, it's a byword for grimness in this, and if there's one theme in it, it's apart from the racial problems that he encounters and the economic climate, which makes Luton pretty desolate, the fact is it's a terrifying dump, and he wants to escape from it. And poetry is his escape, and his talent is discovered at school by his teacher, Miss Clay, played by Hayley Atwell, a very sensitive performance. But the problem is he's firstly got to fight his father, who dominates the family, Kulinda Guru Gear, giving a very fine performance. But nonetheless, he's a diehard traditionalist and also a shy boy. He does have an admirer, Eliza, played by Nell Williams, but he's also got vicious fascist thugs, although we see quite a lot of the National Front, and also, again, when his father's made unemployed, that too brings problems for the family. He has some friends, Matt, rather good performance by Dean Charles Chapman, and he has, was given mystically make him come alive, Bruce Springsteen cassette tapes. Born in the USA and Darkness on the Edge of Town begin his love affair with Springsteen, which enables him to come. It's one of these journeys, these coming-of-age journey movies, but it's I liked it, and what's more, I mean, it is formulaic in many ways, but people have just found that it really, you have a lump in your throat part of the way. Yeah. It's very well filmed in bright colours, and it's got a series of extremely good performances, especially, as I mentioned again, Vivek Khaira, who's one of his first movies, and he's a name to conjure with.
Absolutely,
it's directed by Gurinder Chadha, who did like Beckham, and she's done it very well.
Yeah, and another great British movie to boot as well. That's also great. It's as you say, there's many of these films coming out at the moment, and for a lot of us who like the music as well, that's an extra bonus. So ratings out of 5 then, Richard?
I'm going to go to 4. I was going to go 3.5, and I thought I really did enjoy this so much. And although, as I say, a lot of it's pretty predictable, the fact is you've got some good Springsteen numbers, and you've got some good performances, and you've got some good photography. People have rated this film pretty high because it's just great fun.
Yeah,
but it's also a hard edge to it because of the racial unrest and the unemployment at that time.
Lovely stuff. Okay, so that's one worth watching. And you're just also going to mention Coventry, born and bred, Clive Owen at Noel Coward Theatre. Recently, you've seen him.
Yes, indeed, and showing that he is really a first-class actor. I'd never seen him on a stage before. He's in The Night of the Iguana as Shannon, who's a defrocked priest with a fondness for nymphettes, and the facts are he lands up in a hotel in Mexico, quite literally on his uppers. It's Tennessee Williams, and therefore you're going to get a cast full of the unusual, the eccentric, and the weird, which is precisely what you get here. But Leah Williams plays Hannah Jelks, who appears penniless, but she has a nonagenarian grandfather, a wonderful performance as ever by Julian Glover, who's a poet, and also you've got Maxine Falk there again, Anna Gunn, rather good, but no one in my opinion can really lay a finger. This is unfair, unkind, unjust, and I'm saying it. In 1964, John Huston, the definitive Night of the Iguana, Richard Burton was Shannon. You could see how he was driven from his church and his human weaknesses. And also Ava Gardner was the Mother Earth, Maxine, and Deborah Carr was Hannah Jokes. Now that's what I call unbeatable.
Absolutely. It sounds awesome.
But you can't reproduce that on a stage either.
Exactly. But I've not seen Clive Owen in many movies lately, so is he doing more stage at the moment?
Well, I'd not seen him on stage before. I don't know when I've seen him last in the movies. My favourite Clive Owen performance, actually you have to go back quite a number of years, Julia Roberts, Natalie Portman, Clive Owen and Jude Law in Closer. Do you remember a very interesting movie based on a play which I thought very sensitive about the lives of three professionals and a stripper, and in set in London, the topography of London, an integral part of it, and with lying being the currency of the world, because they're all such they're all characters who have failings, and yet the stripper is the heart of the film. It's beautifully put together. I greatly admired it, and he would play the dermatologist who's set up against Jude Law's journalist to try and win the affections of both us. There's a stripper and a photographer, one played by Julia Roberts and then the stripper by Natalie Portman. It fascinated me. I'd seen it first in 1997 at the National, and it became quite a cult. There was a scene where a journalist sets up a dermatologist online pretending to be a woman, and this became one of the very, very classic theatrical scenes. It was very, very funny, and the irony was that Patrick Barber, who wrote it, had no computer at the time.
Again, yeah, some great, great stuff. Richard, great to listen to you. I can just listen to your day talking lots of great reviews. What are we reviewing next week, if you don't mind?
Next week, this fits in with your experience in Spain, because there's a part of it that's linked to spaghetti westerns. It's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the new Quentin Tarantino movie, and my goodness me, I've actually just seen it. Amazing. And also we've got Pedro Almodovar. Yes. That we're looking forward to too. I haven't seen it yet, but it's Pain and Glory.
Now, he always brings out he's brought some odd films out, but never boring. You cannot say that about him. Never boring. Richard, if anybody wants to find you online, how can they do that?
It's www.richardfitzwilliams.com and on Twitter @rfitzwilliams.
Thank you, Richard. As always, have a great weekend. We'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye.